Dear Mr. Chair, friends, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, today is the festival of Nicholas, a festival of gifts associated with certain requirements, with a moral underpinning. We're not going to be talking about gifts today. We're going to be talking about guilt and debts. And the discussion on debt is accompanied by apportionment of blame, bad consciences, self-righteousness, and a great deal of competition on the market of opinions and assertions. Who is guilty? Who is responsible and becomes guilty through greed, stupidity, or inertia? Who produces the debts that are manifested in crises? You saw the film when you entered the auditorium, which Sacha Berger produced in conjunction with Irene Tanazakis and in conjunction with the Swiss Museum for Securities. Over 200 securities were taken and copied, and they're shown on the screens here, moving slowly and then more rapidly. And they offer us insight into the imaginary realm associated with the question of debt. From Grimm to Duden in German dictionaries, we can find different notions of debt. The first relates to causality, having caused something, the notion of causality and the effect. Secondly, we have moral guilt, having done something wrong, actions which cannot be justified. And only the third perspective relates to debt, having borrowed something which you must return and possibly not able to return, cause and effect, good and evil, giving and taking, credit and debt. Aren't these relationships actually too different to really reflect one upon another? Sometimes people say that there's a problem because the German language doesn't distinguish between debt and guilt in the way that the English language does, because the terms are virtually identical in German. That's partly why the debt crisis has been given a moral overlay in Germany. But there is a link. We often know that if people have committed a criminal act, they have to pay a fine. So a moral debt is transformed into a financial debt. There's also, for example, tax evasion, which is a financial crime, which is, however, also viewed in moral terms and punished as such, said Lacek. And by the way, I'm looking forward to be welcoming him here this evening. He talked about the economy of good and evil, and he has demonstrated that economic decisions are moral decisions much more often than we would like to admit. And these relate to obligations which we owe to others or believe to owe to others. For example, there's gods, divinities, social provisions, and the tenets of religion, and also the provisions of the state, the constitution. Now, in the spirit of this first notion of guilt, we might owe our very life to an instance which has created us. And of course, when you start to think only about financial debts, existential fears arise, and they tap back into these roots. Primordial debts, as David Graeber dubbed this in his 5,000-year history of debt, looked at this as the roots of slavery. This kind of primordial debt is something which goes back long beyond coins and actual money. It can be viewed as an existential debt relating to criteria of affiliation to a clan, a family, a community which is defined in political or social terms. Graeber, in his book, says that we're all born feeling with a debt that we owe to our fathers, to our ancestors, to our gods. If we do something, that is because we owe a debt. The sacrifice that we can give is actually our own lives. Now, Graeber picked up on terms from the Greek tragedies and from the what Anaximander said as well. He could have drawn on that as well, also on the Bible. These, the passing of the things that exist, occurs in the elements from which they came into being, in keeping with the necessities of time, for they pay to one another penalty and penance for injustice in terms of the order of time. And this sentence is about 1,000 years older than the theology of original sin developed by Bishop Augustine in discussion with Pelagius. Long before that, Anaximander was well aware of the chains of time which structured into genealogy, morality, and economy gives us a sense of our guiltiness and therefore also of penalty and penance. That was the starting point for planning this thematic conference. Over more than a year ago, we entered into intensive debates with various people, including Irina Tarantakis, on these issues. And we were aware that it was very important to open up a discursive space which would look at various different disciplines and would also offer a performative therapy to finance, but also would integrate various disciplines, including the arts, to look at the different meanings and also the way in which transformation occurs. We see, for example, various different elements, such as, for example, animal sacrifices, various different sacrifices, all kinds of different dimensions. There was also the genealogy of morals from Nietzsche, 1887, the relationship between creditor and debtor is something very important. And we also want to talk about the link which Max Weber assumed between debt slavery and religiosity and the notion of redemption, or the notion of Abraham and Isaac and Agamemnon and Iphigenia, cited in those mythical stories, the move from sacrificial children to sacrificial animals. And then there's the idea of the scapegoats, the goats which ate of the forbidden wheat and grain upon the altar, the way in which there's transformation of moral guilt into financial guilt, so that one takes the place of the other. So there's a move from the genealogical to the moral to the financial guilt. And of course, that is something which can be seen in economic history and also from the history of ideas. We can see this in terms of inheritance law, whereby obligations are passed down from generation to generation. There's a question of the way in which war guilt is transformed into reparations. We've been discussing this for quite some time now. The economic debt crisis is something that's been giving a moral spin, often over the last few months and weeks. There's been polemics against decisions of politicians and banks, and the greediness of banks in particular. There's also been comments lambasting the lack of work ethic of populations in the South. There were questions of affiliation, identity, who is going to be on board, who's going to be in, who's going to be out in the common market, in the monetary union, who are we related to, who is, in a sense, alien to us, to whom do we demonstrate solidarity, to whom do we demonstrate no solidarity, who can be trusted, who cannot be trusted. The analysis of progressive and regressive transformation of debt also implies the notion as to interruption and suspension of these debts. What might genuine emancipation mean? Emancipation comes from the Latin verb emancipare, which relates to the freeing of a slave or a grown son from the mancipipium, the ceremonial acquisition of property by laying on of hands. What constitutes forgiveness? What constitutes relief from economic debt? A few months before her death, Simone Weil wrote, "We believe that we have a claim in everything, that something is owed to us. And in all of these claims, it's always an imaginary claim of the past upon the future. And we should renounce this. Forgiving your debtors means renouncing the entire past. It means accepting that the future is still pure and intact, strictly tied to the past through links that we are not familiar with, but entirely free of the ties that we believe that our imagination has imposed upon it." I don't know whether this hope of renouncing the past is possible with the hope for a genuinely free and liberated future. I hope that in our debate that we'll have over the next few hours and days, we'll open up new pathways of reflection for us. We'll be able to listen to each other in an unusual way, meet and encounter each other. There's an enormous list of people who should be thanked, and I'll be doing that right at the end of the event with Irini Atanasakis. I'd like to thank the House de Culture, the Humboldt University, the Bell Institute for Cultural Theory and History, the German Federal Cultural Foundation, and the Fritz Thyssen Stiftung. And I'd like to thank all of them, and in particular, Irina Atanasakis, for her enthusiasm. Irini, can I hand over to you now, please?